All right, time for our weekly global analysis from Mitchell Henderson. Hello, Mitch. Are you there?
Hello, I'm here.
Welcome back. There is a lot of confusion and chaos, as always. This is how they play the game. Coming out of the, I guess you'd call it the Middle East, and start with Gaza and move to Lebanon and go to Yemen. And at any rate, Syria. One of the reasons why there is a pretty tight lid on information coming out of Syria is because Israel has already built 5 military bases, as in permanent, in Syria. So again, it's the international Zionists up to no good. And they were involved, clearly, in the overthrow of the Assad regime. And they are probably involved in the apparent executing of lots and lots of Alawites and Christians in Syria. Mitch is going to fill us in from what he has been able to find out from his sources over in Russia. Let us know what you got, Mitch. Go ahead.
Okay, so the situation was that Assad was overthrown by the CIA, MI6, Mossad, the Ukrainian SBU, and the Turkish MITI. The desired outcome for the U.S., Israel, and the U.K. and Ukraine was to get the Russian Air Force base and naval base closed down in Latakia province. This failed because the new Syrian government in Turkey wants the Russian bases in Syria. This was part of the Astana plan between Russia, Turkey, and Iran to diminish Iranian and Russian influence in Syria, increase Turkish influence in Syria, and to stabilize Syria under the Ottoman model, which I've spoken about previously. The U.S., U.K., and Israel want a failed state in constant turmoil. A stable Syria would lead to a stable Lebanon, because Lebanon has always been under Syrian influence. Israel needs Syria and Lebanon to both be failed states. Okay, so the CIA, MI6, and Mossad launched a new operation here last week, okay? The goal is to cause problems for Russia in Syria. A stable Syrian government is good for Russia and good for Turkey. The CIA, right, MI6, right, and Mossad funneled money and weapons to the Alawites in Latakia province because they were the group that Assad came from. Assad is in Russia, so if the Alawites rebel against the new Syrian government, it looks like the Russians supported it, and that will cause the new government in Syria to kick the Russians out. It is clearly a black propaganda operation.
Okay? Right, well
it's
said.
It's meant to make Russia look bad before the Syrians, okay? In addition, they can create a narrative that Christians are being slaughtered in Syria. They can create a pretext for a U.S. and Israeli invasion of Syria to protect Christians there. Keep in mind that the main target is Alawites, okay? But, of course, Christians live in the neighborhood, too, okay? So there's been, like, about 750 Alawites killed and maybe a dozen Christians, okay? But the Christian Broadcasting Network is blowing this out of proportion, making it look like it's a humanitarian disaster of great scope. Okay. So the objective is to kick the Russians out of Syria so that Israel is free to bomb all parts of Syria with impunity and erase all ties between Syria and Russia. Although the main target is Alawites, which the Sunnis see as heretics and apostates and therefore less than human, they're also attacking Christians because in the Astana plan, Russia is supposed to be the representative and protector of Christians in the Middle East. This makes Russia to look bad if Christians are getting killed. You see, Iran represents the Shia Muslim, Turkey, the Sunni Muslims, and Russia, the Christians. So this is to enable Israel to justify taking more parts of Syria.
Uh-huh.
It's also to destabilize Syria so that Lebanon will be unstable and Turkey will be unable to build a naval base there. To keep Syria unstable so that their influence on the situation in Israel will be weak and ineffective. To allow Israel to keep bombing all parts of Lebanon with impunity. to allow the U.S. to keep northeastern Syria as a rebel province to keep Syria from becoming a unified and stable, peaceful state, to keep the Kurds, who are Marxists, in charge of the ISIS camp in northeastern Syria, where they act as a reserve army of terrorists for the CIA. If Syria gains control of this area, they will just kill the ISIS terrorists. This is another thing. They're trying to make the Syrian government look like just cold-blooded killers as a pretext. Oh, we can't let them have the ISIS camps because they'll just kill them. My opinion is, so what? Let them go kill them. That'll solve a big problem, okay? Ukraine sees this as a weakening of Russian power and influence, okay? So the end game is we will see the narrative blow up into a persecution of Christians as a bone to the Zionist Christians who to make this into an October 7th moment for the Christian world in order to justify Israel murdering tens of thousands of Syrians and Lebanese. When Israel attacks, I assure you that although they will use protecting Christians as a pretext to attack Syria, they will murder Christians with more impunity than the Syrians do.
Oh, I completely
agree.
Trump
wants to make a peace, a deal with Iran, in order to put the war with Iran on the back burner so Israel can destroy Lebanon and Syria. They will incrementally attack so as to not spark so much outrage, just like they've been doing in Gaza. Another problem is that our Arab allies do not want Israel to bomb the Iranian nuclear sites because it would irradiate the groundwater field from which the Gulf states get their water. The Gulf states have stressed that this would be unacceptable. In other words, the Gulf states, they're in a desert area. They need water. And water contaminated with uranium and plutonium is not going to do them much good. However, the Arab nations and Turkey will have enough in a few years of senseless slaughter and destruction. And by the time Israel provokes the Iran war and draws the United States into it, the Arab nations and Turkey will be ready to attack Israel. Israel wanted Iran out of Syria. Iran is out of Syria. But Israel still attacks Syria with impunity. The Alawite massacre may be the Christian October 7th to justify the utter extermination and destruction of the people and lands of Syria and Lebanon. It is the United States and Israel that are exterminating Christians and then released. Do not accept any other narrative. Accept the truth. Israel is the Antichrist. If you lived in Gaza right now, you would know that you are in the end of times. Also, let's have a little perspective here. 750-some Alawites have been killed, and maybe at best a few dozen Christians. And this is called a genocide almost immediately. The United States is calling it a genocide. Yet 70,000 civilians massacred by Israel in the Gaza Strip, that somehow is not a genocide. So it's have a little proportionality here. Okay. So...
All right, well, that's sounds quite logical in the way these people play games. Nothing is as it seems. Remember that, and chaos is the basic ingredient that everything is mixed into. You're right.
Yeah, so it may not get that much traction as I scan the media. The Christian Broadcasting Network is the one really pushing the persecution of Christians narrative the most, and they are Israel's bitch. Okay, the Christian Broadcasting Network is a Christian Zionist broadcasting network, and everything they do is in service to Israel, not in service to Christ.
Absolutely
correct. Service to Israel. Okay, so. How much they can blow it out of proportion, I don't know. I looked at, like, France 24, Deutsche Welle, the BBC, the European news, and, well, they're not making a big deal about Christians being slaughtered, but then, they're kind of atheist countries. Turkey, all the friends of Syria, like Turkey, Iran, Syria, even the Arab countries and Pakistan, their news media is not really talking about Christians. They're just talking about the Alawites, okay? because they're not picking up. I mean, there's not a big mass of Christians being killed. Well, keep in mind that they're not hunting down Christians in Damascus and killing them. They're not even hunting down Jews in Damascus and killing them. Okay, this is, they're attacking the Alawite areas because the Alawites rebelled against them. And you know, it's just like if you live in a neighborhood where something's going on, well, you can get hurt. You know, it's just the way things is, collateral damage. Okay, but I think they want to push the narrative like this is the Christian October 7th as a pretext for invading Syria and disrespecting its sovereignty and its rights and stuff. So that's where we are with that.
All right, well, thank you for that update. That helps a lot. Very good. Okay, onward.
Okay, so I want to talk about the trade wars we're having. The hoopla, the lying by omission, the things that you're not told, okay? Really, you need to get this in perspective because the left, the mainstream media, the Democrats, are just shrill about this. Like, this is an embarrassment to America and stuff. So let me give you some facts, okay? The mainstream media is trying to paint Trump's tariffs as economic disaster in the making. They really are playing on our ignorance with their hyperbole. First, let's compare the sizes of these economies. Keep this in mind, okay? The U.S. economy is $27.7 trillion. China's economy is $18 trillion. The European Union's economy, all the European countries together, is $17 trillion. Canada is $2.1 trillion. Mexico is $1.8 trillion. The U.S. economy is huge. It is 13 times bigger than Canada's. It is 15 times larger than Mexico's. We can withstand any trade war with them based on this alone. Second, compare how much their economies depend on foreign trade. So I'm going to break it down in how much of their economy depends on exports and imports, okay? So first, the European Union, it depends, 38% of their economy depends on imports and 39% on exports. Mexico, 29% of their economy is based on imports and 34% based on exports. Canada, 25% is based of their economy. Their total economy is based on imports and 27% on exports. China, 12% of their economy is based on imports and 19% based on exports. The United States of America, 11% of our economy is based on imports and only 7% upon exports.
What a pathetic commentary. That means we're just a consuming nation.
To Canada, which is at least twice as much based on imports and more like four times as much on exports. They cannot withstand a trade war with us. They simply can't do it. Compare that. I just want to compare this with Russia's dependence on trade as a part of its economy and how they are doing just fine as the most sanctioned nation on earth. 10% of their economy is based on imports and 20% upon exports. They're doing just fine. And they are more dependent on trade than the United States is. Okay. So we can handle this trade war. That's what Trump says. Oh, there might be some ripples. Okay. But, you know, we're going to come out of this just fine. Keep in mind, this means all those things that we import from China, Mexico, and Canada. You know, how long is it going to take them to put up a plastic goods factory here in America? It doesn't take long at all. Okay.
No.
We can replace their imports very easily, and it would be good for us.
I don't see any signs of any American manufacturing companies coming back to the U.S. I don't see any talk about it. Ford and Chevrolet are still manufacturing in Mexico. These people have to be brought back here. American companies have to operate in America.
Yes, especially
if
Mexico.
You're do it,
that's
you have
where
to
all
make
the spare
effort.
Parts are made. And that's they need right. to make them here for defense. They need to make spare parts
that's
here.
That's right.
Cars. Okay, so in other words, our economy could do just fine even if we did not trade with anyone. We have almost a $28 trillion economy. You know, the difference between the United States, just keep this in mind, is we got 350 million people who all have plenty of money to spend, whereas Mexico has got maybe 73 million people, but they all don't have disposable income that they can use to buy our stuff. So there's no comparison. The Democrat Marxists in the U.S. are truly beholden to the global elites because they are in a panic, not about how bad American citizens would be hurt, but about how bad non-Americans would be hurt by a trade war. They're more worried about how Canadians and Mexicans would be hurt than they are about Americans being hurt. Let's get more specific about how significant such a trade war with only the U.S. would be. This is a trade war just between U.S. and some other country. So this is trade with the USA as a percent of the economy. So Canada imports 21% of its economy. 21% of its economy depends on imports from the U.S. 17% of its economy depends on exports to the United States. Okay, the United States depends on imports from Canada only 1.5%, and exports only 1%. This is nothing for us. This is a lot for them. It's a fifth of their economy, almost a fourth of their economy.
Got it.
Okay, Mexico, 28% depends of their economy depends on imports from the U.S. and 14% exports to the U.S. This represents 2% of the U.S. economy in imports and 1% of the U.S. economy in exports. Do you think this trade war is going to hurt America? These are the numbers. Nobody ever breaks these numbers down to you, but these are the numbers. What about a trade war with China? Actually, this is not a big deal at all, because China's economy based on imports from the United States is only 2%, and that only represents 1.5% of our economy. And exports to the USA for China only represents 0.8% of their economy, and it only represents 0.5% of our economy. European Union, it better walk softly because imports for the U.S. From the U.S. makes up 11% of their economy, and exports to us makes up 9%, whereas that only means 2.5% imports for us of our economy and 2% exports for us. As you can see, a trade war with Canada and Mexico would be devastating for them, but just be a hiccup for us. China can handle it, but it would be painful to the EU if we were to have a trade war with them. But what has Trump said about tariffs? It's another thing that they do not really spell out for you. Okay, two things. The first is 25% tariffs on goods from Mexico, Canada, and China because they enabled the smuggling of fentanyl and illegal immigrations into the United States. These have been devastating to the American people. Such tariffs would hurt those countries, especially Canada and Mexico. These nations are definitely not friends. Trump's purpose is to make them enforce their borders and stop attacking the American people. All China has to do is stop selling fentanyl precursors to Canada and Mexico. China is actually capable of doing that. They can do it very easy. All Mexico and Canada have to do is stop helping illegal aliens cross into the United States, stop allowing the importation of fentanyl precursors from China, and stop the lackadaisical enforcement against fentanyl labs in their countries, and stop assisting and enabling of fentanyl smuggling into the United States. I mean, we've heard them on the news, oh, Canada is such a good friend and everything. No, they are not. They are part of the Joe Biden problem of open borders and stuff. They profited from it. They enabled it. They are not our friends, and we need to stand strong against them, okay? Declaring the criminal cartels as terrorist organizations makes it a crime in the USA, for Mexican and Canadian politicians and law enforcement to participate in drug smuggling and human trafficking. They can go to prison and have all their personal assets seized. We can go kidnap them and bring them to justice, or even just kill them under the terrorist thing. Okay, this is why they are so upset with us, because it's the people in power who stand everything to lose, not the people of Canada and Mexico. It's the people in power who are afraid of this.
So they're actually fighting for their own personal wealth to protect
it.
They don't give a damn about
personal
the people.
Wealth.
Nothing, nothing new. Same old.
Yeah, the president of Mexico speaks not for the Mexican people.
Oh,
speaks for the,
Mrs.
the Mexican
Sheinbaum?
Rich people.
Forget it. No way.
Yeah, the Mexican rich people and the drug lords. She is their president. Okay.
And if she screwed up and they didn't like it, the cartels would take her out. Boom.
Yep. So this the second purpose of tariffs is what Trump calls reciprocal tariffs. With all the nations of the world, this isn't targeted, this is all the nations of the world. If they have a tariff on an American good, we will impose the same tariff on the same good from their country. Okay? So let me give you another example. I mean, the Canadians are so shrill about a 25% tariff. Let me tell you what Canada's tariffs on American goods are. Okay? Milk, 270% tariff. Cheese, 245% tariff. Butter, 298% tariff. Chickens, 238% tariff. Sausages, 69.9% tariff. Barley, 57.8% tariff. Meat, 26.5% tariff. Vacuum cleaners, 35%. Cable boxes for cable TV, 35% tariff. TVs, 45% tariff. Cars, 25% tariff. Steel, 25% tariff.
Right, Matt,
aluminum,
hold it,
45%
Mitch. Where, now,
tariff.
That's a long list. What country are we talking about here that's being hit with tariffs?
Canada. This is what Canada charges on American girls. These are tariffs Canada has already imposed on American goods. Not recently. This is for
these
forever.
Have been up and running.
This is forever.
These are astonishing.
They do not want our goods to compete with their farms.
This
and they
needs
talk
to be
like, oh, well, we get so many food things from Canada.
Yeah.
So think that the Canadian government is our friend? Do you really think our grocery prices are going to go up? What food do we get from Canada? Look at the store when you go shopping. What do you buy from Canada in groceries?
Can't think of anything.
No, I never see anything made in Canada in the grocery store. Except maybe Canadian liquor, that's about it. Canada has had a Marxist government for the past 9 years. The dictator Trudeau, the Gavin Newsom of Canada, has resigned. American tariffs are not the big problem for Canadians. The Liberal government imposed carbon taxes that are impoverishing the people. That's why they're screaming so loudly about our tariffs. Oh, it's going to impoverish the Canadian people. No. The Liberal government of Canada is impoverishing the people. Saturday, Mark Carney, another woke climate change Marxist, became the Prime Minister of Canada. Marxists are not friends of America. Okay? So let me just, you know, we're talking about reciprocal tariffs here. Let me tell you another change that maybe some people have noticed, okay, and maybe some people have not noticed. Have you noticed how Trump is saying, oh, well, if you're going to be an alliance, you know, it's like, why does America always have to fight for you? You know, Trump wants, if you're our allies, Trump wants you to send troops to fight with us, not token troops like they did during the wars on terrorism. A company here, a platoon there, maybe a battalion or so here or there, you know, I mean, what the hell? This was nothing. It would probably cost more money to have them there with us than it did to just do it ourselves, okay? Because guess who had to fly them in and support them and give them supplies and stuff, you know? And that was all for show, okay? I mean, if you go, some countries sent a few more troops and stuff, but also these countries, what good is the military? The UK, Germany, Canada, they have hollowed out military. They're of no use to us in an actual real war. And Trump wants to put a stop to this. He says, oh, you want to be our ally? You've got to have a good army. You need to build your army up. And look at Europe now. They're saying, okay, we got to spend $850 billion on European defense. Okay, now they're talking about they have to be able to defend themselves. This is a good thing, people. This is a good thing. Mm-hmm. Why do we always have to shell out our money?
Well, we should pull every American troop out of Europe.
Because we have paid for the defense since 1945.
Okay? That's since World War II ended. How much
have
we spent? Trillions. This is crazy.
Yes.
All American troops out now. Bring them home, put them on the border.
It's not just NATO. Japan is now got its marching orders. Japan can't just have this sissy little self-defense force anymore. Trump has told them, hey, if you're going to be our ally, you have to be able to project power and go fight with us against an enemy. We're not just there to protect you. You got to start protecting yourself. You got to build a military big enough to help out if there's a war. Okay.
Kind of like World War II military. Bring back the rising sun. If you remember, read about World War II, the Japanese built an enormous navy, huge giant battleships. They had it all.
Yep.
And we just overwhelmed them in time. It was amazing what they did. Trump wants them militarily back in the game.
Yes, he does. He's tired of Americans footing the bill for everything in the world. You know, and he's right. He's right. Why should we?
That's one of the things that he's right about. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So let me just bring another thing up. A lot of people were annoyed that Trump changed the name of the Gulf of Mexico to the Gulf of America. But there was a reason behind this. Okay. First, the Biden administration went around replacing traditional names with politically correct names, like changing Fort Bragg to Fort Liberty Liberty. This is Marxism. Destroy the old and build the new. As Chairman Kamala said, create a future unburdened by the past. That's typical Marxism. Right before leaving office, Biden signed an executive order that you cannot drill for oil in the eastern Gulf of Mexico. It said quite specifically Gulf of Mexico. But there is no order concerning drilling in the Gulf of America. Now do we understand why he wants to change it to the Gulf of America?
Good call. So it wasn't patriotic. It wasn't real geographical politic. It was that. That's interesting. Well, it makes sense.
That's what it was. And so he could drill anywhere he wanted to in the Gulf of Mexico because it doesn't exist anymore. Now it's the Gulf of America, and there's no executive orders or prohibitions about drilling in the Gulf of America.
Well, you know, here's the deal. If you look at a map, take a minute, look at the map of the entire Gulf of Mexico / America. There's room for both, all right, from Florida to Texas, approximately a straight line. Gulf of America, it's America. Look down by Yucatan. There's a big gulf there, Gulf of Mexico. There's plenty for both, is what I'm saying. It's an easy solution.
Well, Mexico drills in its Gulf of Mexico.
That's the point.
They don't have the same restrictions we have. So now we need to change the name of the Atlantic Ocean to the American Eastern Ocean, the Pacific to the American Western Ocean, and the Arctic to the American Northern Ocean. And then we can drill anywhere. I think the Marxists made a mistake by giving Trump this idea. They gave this idea to him by changing Mount McKinley to Mount Denali. I mean, they just thought this was just, you know, so political correct and cool and woke that it's coming back to burn them. Right. So drill, baby, drill, and screw the climate change Nazis.
You know, there's a story that Reverend Lindsay Williams told me years and years ago on the program. He knew all about the Alaska pipeline, having been up there as a pastor to the big oil companies that were building it. And he said that in one location called Gull, as in Seagull Island, under that island, there is more oil than there is in the entire Middle East. He said there's a big secret.
Yeah.
He knows it.
Could be.
It's being kept quiet. There's awful, huge, giant amounts of oil off the western coast of Florida as well, which has not been allowed to be drilled in since World War II. They will not let it happen. We'll see. Trump will open it up. There's a huge amount of oil there as well. So we have more oil than we could ever use.
You know, the Alaska pipeline is sort of dear to my heart because in 1970, when they were still building it, and they would just out in the wilderness, they dropped these big giant pipes out there and stuff. And I went out there hiking, hunting, and fishing and stuff. And I camped out in them. Like, there'd just be a section of pipe there.
Interesting.
You know, Alaska rains a lot and stuff. I just moved into a pipe, have a little fire in there, keep warm.
How big of a pipe? What's the diameter of the pipe? 8 feet, 10 feet?
I'm like 5'8". I could stand up in it.
I'd be darned. Well, 6 feet then, maybe.
So I camped out in those pipes. I mean, it was...
That's fun. Yeah. That's funny. Not a polar bear or a grizzly bear to be seen. Okay.
Well, yeah, and that's a different story, okay? The bears came around, you know, there's an opening on both ends, so,
That's what I hear about pipes.
Into one way or another.
Yes.
Yeah, right. Uh-huh. So let me get into the money issue. Okay. There's a reason Trump must make peace and get on Russia and China's good side, and at the same time, completely digitize the dollar before nations start drifting away from it. It is critical to the Trump administration to rapidly digitize the dollar so it will remain as the trade and reserve currency of the world. This is a major project of Trump's. Okay, this is super important to him. Okay, when you hear him make statements like, oh, BRICS isn't going to have their own currency and stuff, this is why he wants to be friendly with Russia and China and Iran and these countries. He wants the digital dollar, okay? It's important to him, okay? So this is another reason to provoke economic and financial shocks. Time is of the essence. Welcome to the mark of the beast, buy and sell everything. Elon Musk is the guy for that. He can make this happen. He's got the know-how. Okay. So I just want to say that Israel is the agent of drastic change. All these changes in the world are meant to benefit Israel. Okay. Russia is going to get Crimea, Kherson, Zaporizhia, Donetsk, and Luhansk, so Israel can get the Gaza Strip, West Bank, and Golan Heights, and parts of Syria. Okay, so Trump knows this. If he's going to justify Israel conquering and getting lands, he has to set a precedence by allowing Russia to do the same. Okay? It's not in the interest of Russia. It's not in the interest of Ukraine. It's not in the interest of the United States. It is in the interest of Israel that he's doing this. Peace in Ukraine is directly tied to the growth of Eretz Israel, okay, directly tied to it. Trump needs to make peace.
Trump is a servant to Zionist Israel, 100%.
Yes,
it's blatantly obvious. I don't know why more people don't see it. It's a taboo subject for the mainstream media. You won't see it there. You'll see it in some of the alt platforms, perhaps. It's embarrassing. It's an obscenity, what's going on.
Israel is going to allow Trump to make peace with Iran because Israel needs time to consolidate their control of Gaza Strip.
Good point.
The Ukraine peace thing has got everything to do with Israel consolidating their control of Gaza Strip. It's got everything to do with that. Okay. So which brings us to the Epstein files. Epstein files will never be released because the island videos is how the Mossad blackmails all the important people in the world to work
for them. That's their ammunition. That's their ammunition.
Yes.
We'll take away
those names or those people or nothing like that.
Another broken promise.
Somehow they got burned up or destroyed in the Southern District of New York.
I know.
So, We're just not going to see it.
No. And more lies. They tell us what they want.
We're not going to see the part where Israel had anything to do with it.
You're not going to see Ben-Gurion's name in there. You're not going to see Mossad.
Nope.
It'll be redacted if they release anything.
No mention of Dimona and the nuclear program.
Not a
chance. None of that will be in there.
Nope.
None of it.
No. Sad. Sickening. Disgusting.
So, transparency, but not including transparency into Israel. Okay. So, you know. I know I've said on this program that I thought that Trump was the Antichrist, but actually, I think he's the tool of the Antichrist.
Oh, he's the butler.
I think Israel is the Antichrist, people. That Star of David, 6 points, six triangles, six interangles, 666. God doesn't complicate things. He makes things very, very apparent. So there's a big propaganda thing to keep you from thinking that Star of David is the mark of the beast. It is the mark of the beast, okay? No ands, buts, or ifs. Not only that, but Star of David has nothing to do with David. It's got nothing to do with Judaism. That was adopted by godless atheist Zionists in 1897 when the Zionist Association was created, okay? And it comes from some other medieval thing that's got nothing to do with Judaism or David. It's more of a satanic symbol.
Right. So, by the way, back to your trade wars just for a second. China,
sure.
China laid a 100% tariff on all Canadian canola oil, otherwise known as rapeseed oil, which is awful
right.
for
mm-hmm.
you anyhow. You shouldn't be drinking
yeah.
it or eating it. So Canada's getting pummeled. I wonder if they're going to really grind it until Canada is so weak that it will have to yield to some effort to blend it into North America, the U.S. We'll see.
Well, we've lived in this fiction that Canada's our good friend and helps us out. No, Canada helps itself out. Okay, it is not friendly to us. Okay, so what can we sell there without a high tariff on it? And they said, well, we're just a little country. They only got 40 million people. It's a little country with a small economy. They can't afford to compete with American businesses. So they put high tariffs on our stuff, okay, but we don't put high tariffs on their stuff.
That's not fooling any intelligent American economists. We know.
No.
It's game
no,
playing.
We,
and this
we,
guy,
we
Mark
know.
Carney, is another uh-huh. another loser.
Oh, he's a climate change Nazi. I'll tell you that right now. Is exactly what he is. He what's important to him is zero emissions. That is his goal. Zero emissions.
Talk about
means
impossible.
Human extermination Ridiculous. And human poverty. Climate
right.
change means human poverty and human extermination. That's what climate change means, people. Okay, we can't have 8 billion people on Earth
Don't
without
the war.
Petroleum.
Yeah, the war yeah. on carbon. We're carbon units in their minds. Don't forget that.
Yes. Well, keep in mind, people, it's basic chemistry, okay? If you take water and you take carbon dioxide and you put it through a magnesium catalyst called chlorophyll, it makes dextrose. Water and carbon dioxide makes life. A war on carbon, the carbon wars, is a war on life. Not just human
it's
life,
called
but
genocide.
All life.
You got it. That's right.
Its goal is the
We're
extermination
the
of all life.
Don't forget that. We're the carbon problem.
Yeah.
They're just
yes.
masking it
yes.
with semantic games.
Right, right. Exactly. So,
yeah.
I mean, the thing is, here we are in this world where it's obvious that carbon and water makes life. And it's not just carbon they're trying to deprive us of. They want to deprive us of water also. Okay. I mean, they're attacking them in every way that they can.
That's correct. That's
okay.
correct. But you're right.
So,
you're totally right.
You know, it is an attack on humanity. Marxism, climate change,
uh-huh.
Zionism.
Uh-huh.
These are attacks on humanity. Yes. Well, these aren't attacks on everyone. This is a death cult. Okay, and that's the center of what Israel is. Israel is a death cult. look at how they have flattened Gaza. You know, if you were in Gaza and you read Revelations, you look around you today and you see it right there.
That's right. And
there
who paid
and
for
apparent
it?
To you.
Biden and
the United
Trump.
States of America.
And Trump.
Yes.
Biden and
That's
Trump.
Right.
Trump is now the new satanic ambassador for the Zionist Bolshevik state of Israel. And this is awful stuff we're doing. That's why when I see good things, that so-called good things that Trump is associated with doing, I just think of cookies and donuts. The big things are genocide, globalism, war, and if he wants to really bring peace, that's great. I'm not sure that's the agenda. Europe, somehow there was a decision made to fracture the relationship between the U.S., the U.K., and Europe. Now, France is the wild card here. I don't know. I should say Poland and France. The Poles triggered World War II. Don't ever forget that. Don't ever forget that. It was the Poles slaughtering almost 60,000 Germans living in Poland after World War I and the Treaty of Versailles that forced Hitler to invade Poland. He didn't want to do it. So the Russians came in the east, Hitler came in the west, and they stopped the slaughter of the Germans and basically took Poland over. Poland is crazy. I've seen some statements out of that part of that government lately. They want war with Russia desperately.
They
want to build their military. And Macron is on the same page. He's offering
it's
to help
suicide,
the Poles with
Jeff,
nukes.
That's what I'm saying. This is all a death cult. Okay,
but I agree.
Macron and Tusk, Donald Tusk, they want to kill you. Okay, you is who they want to kill. They want to kill their own people. Okay, oh, what glory it'll be if 90% of their people get wiped off the face of the earth. You know, what an honor and glory that will be. You know, so we can see movement in our own society. I mean, we got this Palestinian guy who's here on a green card. He's got a green card. He's a legal resident, but they want to deport him because he's protesting genocide in Palestine.
Well, it's freedom of speech here in the U.S.,
to you people.
Right?
I want to during the Vietnam War, nobody called the protest. They called them anti-war protesters. They did not call them pro-North Vietnamese protesters. Nobody said that. The press didn't say it. The government didn't say it. Look how quickly, when it involves Israel, these protests are anti-genocide, anti-ethnic cleansing, anti-crimes against humanity protests, and we call them pro-Palestinian protests. You see, this is George Orwell. This is changing the terms and making the terms fit what you want the people to think. So we're going to kick this Palestinian guy out for anti-Semitism, basically. And it's all a push because before too long, criticizing Israel will get you put in jail.
You see,
criticizing Israel will get you killed in the future.
Mitch, under the definition of freedom of speech, anti-anything is fine.
Yes.
It doesn't matter. This is ludicrous, this whole thing. Now, I got a little
note
here.
But in order to be deported, if you have a green card, you have to be convicted of a significant crime.
Tell that to the judges who are freeing all the invaders into the streets after rape and murder. Here's a quickie. Hold on.
Yeah, okay.
I just got this from a friend. 666 in the Bible, he writes, is a representation of the carbon atom. Carbon has an atomic number of 6. 6 electrons, 6 protons, and 6 neutrons, or 666. It is the number of man, and we are a carbon-based life
form. Yes, the number of a man, and you were just saying that we are carbon, and 666 is the number of a man. We're carbon-based life forms.
That's right.
That's right.
It's code talk when they use that term carbon. The idea is to reduce the world population. How many times do they have to tell us? Come on.
Yeah.
Get real. We don't know how many are going to die from these shots. At least 1 billion, in my view. At least.
Well, I got a feeling that they're going to want to make things go a little bit more faster. So, you know, even if they have
think about this.
They have stated that they want to kill 7.5 billion people, okay? And nuclear war isn't even going to be enough to do that, okay?
No.
So
right.
Like I said if you do the math, and this is not, these are not figures that current people are thinking about. I started being involved in studying nuclear war back in 1972 when I went to the Army's Chemical Warfare School. Projections from that time until the present day basically say the same thing. In the first few hours of a nuclear war, 10% of the people will die. But by the end of the first year, 90% of the people will be dead because this nuclear war is going to break down supply chains. You know, there won't be transportation. There won't be fuel. There'll be famine. Then people's immune systems go down. There will be pestilence. There will be people killing each other to take their stuff. There will be people killing people to eat. Okay? People will become food. Okay? This is your future.
Don't laugh. Yeah. Cannibalism will come back. It already is back, I'm told, but leave it. It's coming. And that will be absolutely one of the things you can count on. If things get that bad, you'll see. They bring you a lot of injections. Understand, they're supposed to survive us. Don't forget it.
Right. Yeah, they have no requirements. It's only American citizens that have requirements. We also would like to see, it would be nice if American citizens had rights, because only criminals and illegal aliens seem to have rights. Only criminals and illegal aliens get cut a break in this country, you know. So we're gonna see this. I mean, they just said on the news the other day, ICE has already turned like 450 felons back out onto the street on monitors. What kind of bullshit is that?
Right.
You know. So.
Right.
You know. Is it all
a show? I just don't see the path to peace being as smooth and effortless as Trump would like us to think it is. It's very complex out there. Many agendas are being pushed right now, 24 hours a day, and very few of them have to do with our welfare. Okay? Just leave it at
that. But they do have to do with Israel's welfare. So when you think about peace treaties or making peace, all you have to do to figure out the way what they're going to put on the table is what is good for Israel. That is the measure by which everything is measured.
Look at the picture on the homepage of Butler Trump putting the chair under Netanyahu's backside. Just look at the picture. That tells you all you need to know about this administration. It's the truth. It may be a little simplistic, but it is the truth. The control of this country does not lie within the executive branch, doesn't lie within the legislative branch or the judicial branch. It doesn't lie within the people. We are controlled from out there. We have an external control mechanism now that has taken total charge of us through our money. And if this talk ending of the Federal Reserve is very amusing to me. Go ahead.
Three quarters of Congress is paid for by IPAC. They all get money from the Zionist thing. That's who pays their campaign funds and stuff. You practically name the people who do not get money from IPAC, like Thomas Massie of Kentucky. He won't take IPAC's money.
No, he said he may be the only member of Congress who doesn't have an IPAC babysitter to watch and see how he votes and to take him out to dinner and compromise him.
Exactly.
He's left alone. They can't turn that guy. They may have killed his wife. She died under as yet to be explained circumstances. Thank you, Mitchell. Wonderful job as always.
You're welcome.
To you next week. Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Good night. Okay. Ladies and gentlemen, that's Monday, and we're off and running. Let's see what happens tomorrow. Back with you in 21 hours. Thank you for being here.